this morning in the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. It took us a couple of weeks to get through chapter 1, but we'll try to move along, not to overlook anything, but also not to drag our feet, and cover some material each week so that we can go on through the book. I would remind you that it's our hope and our desire as a teacher to whet your appetite so that you'll study, understanding that we cannot give you everything in this time allotment that we have that you'll need. But hopefully we can whet your appetite so that you'll study. And when you do, then it'll be a blessing to you and a help to you. Just to briefly review, we'll remind you that this is a book written by Solomon, the king of Israel. He's the son of David, of course, that took over after the death of David. And he wrote a great number of Proverbs. We have these that Solomon himself has written, and then there were those of Solomon that Hezekiah had his men to gather together toward the latter part of the book. So it is an interesting study for us, and the Proverbs are written specifically to just help us along the pilgrim's way, to give us some real important instruction. And we'll see in our chapter this morning that certainly there is some instruction that we need and need to heed. We closed out our study last week on with wisdom as she was personified in her cry to the simple ones and to everyone, in fact, and we saw how that wisdom is in varied places reaching out to folks. Now, in this particular chapter, we'll divide this chapter into three portions, three major divisions for our sake of study. We will look at this thought of finding the knowledge of God in verses 1 through 5. And then verses 6 through 9, we find that God saves and leads. And then verses 10 on through 22 gives us the thought of when wisdom enters the heart, or what it'll do for us. So we'll read this chapter, and then we come back and deal with it, and then give you the opportunity to ask questions and make some comments on it as well. Verse 1 of chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go in thereat or go in unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out. Now let's come back and look at it in the outline form that I've given. First of all, in the first five verses, finding the knowledge of God. And I suppose if we were to categorize things and put them in a list of importance and value, we'd certainly have to put it at the top of the list, finding the knowledge of God. The truth of the matter is, it does not make any difference what we attain in our lives. If we don't have a knowledge of God, then our lives are empty and vain and worthless. As far as existence is concerned, the knowledge of God, certainly it's important to find the knowledge of God. Involved in this matter of the knowledge of God is certainly the matter of receiving the Word of God. Oh, it's so important today. Whenever we see around us many that are of the clergy, and I'm not too crazy about the divisions we get, clergy and laity, you know. Truth is, we ought to all be disciples along this pilgrim's way, but the clergy sometimes begins to handle the Word of God rather casually and lightly and indifferently and take great liberties with it today. But in our particular text today, when it comes to finding a knowledge of God or the knowledge of God, then certainly we see that it is a matter of receiving the Word of God. In verse 1, he said, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Certainly we see then the inference is that the Word of God has a real important matter in our lives. Let me remind you that Simon Peter, when he wrote one of his epistles, what we call the general epistles, he said that we are born again not of incorruptible seed, but by the incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I am persuaded today that the indication of a real honest heart as somebody seeks the Lord is their pursuance of the Word of God and their attitude toward it, just to be assured that it is. And I'm persuaded that you won't have to be a scientist. You won't have to be one of so intense intellect to know the Word of God. It's a matter of receiving it as it is the very Word of God. There is the element of faith that's involved, and somewhere in our lives we're going to have to receive the Word of God. Believe that there is a record. Now, I'm persuaded that there is a God who is absolutely infinite in His being, and that He's absolutely, totally, completely wise in all that He would endeavor to present and pursue, and that He is sovereign in His authority and power, and He could give a revelation of Himself that would last for time and eternity. I'm convinced of that. That if God is great enough to create, then He's great enough to give a revelation of Himself and even protect it to this good day in which we live. Certainly we can look at history and we find that there have been many times attacks have been made on the Word of God. There have been times that national leaders have commanded and demanded that all of the Bibles be brought and burned. But it still exists because of God Himself. And so, just to tell you the truth, when you look at the history of our own Bible in the English language, there was a real opposition to it. The hierarchy, the clergy, did not want the Bible in the common language because they knew then that they'd lose their control and authority. Let me just tell you how precious the Word of God was in bygone days when men would have to, with just intensity, sit and write it in by hand. We have in the history back one that was called the Chain Bible. The reason it was called the Chain Bible was because it was so precious that they'd literally have to chain it to the pulpit so that folks wouldn't carry it off, and that it might remain in the churches. And if you wanted to read the Bible, you had to come and just stand and read through it. Other times in the history of our English-speaking ancestors, a man would labor for a year and give a year's wages for to have the Word of God in his home for a day, to receive the Word of God. It's important today. And here, if we're going to have the knowledge of God, it is a matter of receiving the Word of God. We're going to have to settle it that this is God's Word. It's God-breathed. And then not only do we receive it, but we receive it to search it, in verse 2. "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Not only is the mind involved, and I am persuaded that the mind is involved in our study of the Word of God. That's just natural because, in other words, the mind is what assimilates material and evaluates material. But then to receive it and let it become even more than just an intellectual pursuit, but let it become a very desire of our heart to know something of God and to know God. Then we began to prosper in this matter. And certainly we see that finding the knowledge of God. In verses 4 and 5, it's a diligent search. He said, if thou seekest her silver. Yeah. We can look back in our own history of our nation. There were the days of the gold rushes, and then there were the days of the what they call the mother loads up in the silver country. And people would get literally jeopardize their lives in pursuit of silver and of gold. And men would seek and search for it, and at the very hazarding of their own lives. And that's the idea that we need to get here about the knowledge of God and the Word of God, is to give ourselves to it in a diligent search. I will speak of a fellow that I witnessed to years ago. And in my heart, I hope he was saved. I really do. I don't wish anybody to go to hell. But I worked with him on that old GM assembly line. Worked with him every day. And I'd talk to him. And there came a time that he made what we call today a profession. He made at least the effort to say that he had trusted the Lord. And he showed great interest in the early part of his experience where he had pursued the Word of God. He'd look into it. He'd question me about it, and I'd try to answer him as best I could. But then there came a time after a few months that I noticed that he, first of all, he wasn't coming to church. And then secondly, he had gotten away from his study of the Word of God. One day he told me, he said, I've pretty well mastered that. I've learned about everything there is in. And I thought to myself, you're deceived. Extremely deceived. I've been studying it even before I was saved and since I've been saved. And I've been saved since 1966. And I wouldn't even begin to pretend to tell you that I know it all. I'm still a student. And I'm still pursuing. But I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I've got all the answers and that I figured out the infinite. Because He is eternal and He is infinite in His being. And this Word is, if you please, it's an unconquerable Word. It'll be something to study. If God were to give you 200 years, you can still be a student of the Word of God and find those things that are precious and new. But it is a diligent search. That's what we want to see, that this is something that we're going to pursue. You didn't find too many folks that sought gold or silver in just kind of a second-hand way. They would give their lives to it. I enjoy reading some history of the West. And some of those old guys, they lived in the mountains, leading an old donkey about with their supplies and a pick and a shovel. Look, all of their lives, they were looking for the mother lode. They were looking for that stake that would just make them wealthy. And many of them died paupers. But they sought, they searched. And this is not a valueless search like sometimes that was. If we give ourselves to search for this as men will search for silver, then there's an end to it and it'll be worthwhile. We'll see that if you search for her as for hid treasures. There's always been some story about either a bank robbery loot buried somewhere. There's no stories of the old Dutchman mine. It's gone all over the whole West. I suppose there's one in every county where there's ever been a drop of gold found. The story of a lost mine, and it's just completely filled and full of gold. You remember a few years ago, there was a fellow that set out in pursuit of some of the Spanish galleons, even made his trips to Spain and research the records of these ships that were recorded back in the 1500s and 1600s. Trying to find the route that they were following and were supposedly to follow. Then he had spent and collected and gathered millions of dollars and spent it in pursuit of these Spanish galleons because of the silver and the gold that was on them. One man I remember actually lost a son and a daughter-in-law in the pursuit of it in an accident. Didn't give it up. Kept on and pursued that hidden treasure, that lost treasure. Well, if we give ourselves to the Word of God like that, then you'll come to the knowledge of God. I'll guarantee you God's faithful. And He will respond to that kind of faith. Now, I'm not sure that He responds to a lot of this stuff they call faith today. We go out here and a guy's never even read John 3:16, and we get him to pray a little old prayer, and all of a sudden we say he's settled for eternity. I have some questions about that, but I believe that if a man gives himself to it and looks into the Word of God, that God will not leave him without reward, that God will deal with that man, bring him to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a matter of seeking and searching. And there even is that desire of the heart to call out to knowledge. Now, don't you remember in your lives, as I do in mine, crying out to God to show you the truth? Wasn't there that hunger and that desire that would drive you to your knees and say, Lord, show me the truth. Let me see the truth. I remember the cry of my heart the night before I saved. Show me the Christ of Calvary. Oh, just to cry out. If there's that kind of a pursuit, then God is faithful to respond and deal with that heart and in that land. Search and seek for it. Call out for it and ask for understanding. And there's not anything wrong as we look into the Word of God. This applies to the saved as well as lost. I think a lost man ought to be in pursuit of the Word of God. I remember dealing with a young man several years ago now, and he couldn't settle this matter in his heart about salvation. And he said, what I do? I said, I tell you what I'd do. I'd study the Bible with all the intensity of my soul, and I'd put myself under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God at every opportunity. And I believe that God speak to my heart. And I wasn't lying to him. I believe that today, that if we just ask, look into it and ask God, what does it mean, and speak to my heart. There's a fellow made a recommendation to a man that years ago, and I think that it was probably a good way to approach it. This fellow was somewhat hardened in his sin and yet desiring to know something of God. And the fellow told him, he said, you read the Gospel of John. And he said, just read through it with this one prayer every time that you read it. And you start to pursue the study of the Gospel of John. He said, show me myself. Just pray, show me myself. Said, you read the Gospel of John. Well, he'd done that, and he saw how wretched he was. And then the fellow said, now you read through it and say to God, show me thyself. Show me thyself. And when he got through the second time, he knew something of God. He knew himself. He knew he was lost and desperately lost and in need of a Savior. And then in faithfulness, God would show it to him. See, the Gospel of John was written. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believing, you might have life through his name. It's a good pursuit. So we see that there's a matter of calling out for knowledge and asking for understanding. And then, of course, certainly there is the blessed results in verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And let me say, there's nothing like it. You can live a lifetime experiencing a lot of things. Solomon himself gave himself to a lot of pursuits of life. He studied animals. He studied birds. He studied vegetables, he studied vegetation, he studied the rocks, he studied a lot of things. But he found out it was all vain and empty unless he knew the Lord. And I present to you today that there's not anything like coming to that place in your life that you know the Lord. And he said, if you'll pursue, you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You'll be at peace in your heart. So, we find in these first five verses now, finding the knowledge of God. Let's look on now in verses 6 through 9. We move from a man that is looking to a man that has found, and God saves and God leads. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Well, certainly this is the Lord now to the one who has found the knowledge of God. We might not be the brightest crayon in the box intellectually. But I'll tell you what, God will give you wisdom of himself. And wisdom for life if you know the Lord. He'll not leave you without some direction for character and how to walk pleasing in the sight of God today. God's not unfaithful to us. He said he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. A man that's saved today, God's going to direct his life. Give him some things that will help him along this pilgrim way. And he's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Just basically the one that supports him. That's the idea of the buckler. Just literally buckles him up and holds him up and strengthens him for the walk. God saves and God leads today. He does give wisdom and he does sustain in verse 7. Verse 6, he said, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. This is God's ability to give today. And so he does give, and then he does sustain. And then he preserves his own in verse 8. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Now that's comforting to me as a saint of God. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'll tell you, that's precious today. He that hath begun the good work in you will perform it when? Unto the day of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I have a salvation today and a God who saves it can keep me. Now, there's not one of us that would dare boast and say, Lord, just save me, I'll keep myself saved. No. We find ourselves falling before the day's over, falling before the hour's ended. Thank God he saves and he preserves. And he leads along this pilgrim's way. He blesses us with just the insight. I think, honestly, that we that are saved could look back over our lives and say we fared far better after we're saved than we did before. As far as the pursuits of our life are concerned, the direction of our lives, I lived a life that was, I don't say it was meaningless, but it wasn't of any eternal value until the Lord saved me. And then God began to make my life something of value, worthwhile. Tell you what, I'm thankful today that the Lord's allowed me to serve Him. I've looked at lines of men, even some that claim to be saved. They get down to the end of their life. And when you look back over it, there was not any major rises or falls in their lives. They just lived along. And it couldn't be said of them that they really did anything of any consequence for God. But I'm thankful that the Lord's allowed me along the pilgrim's way to preach His Word, to teach His Word, and to have some measure of effect in some lives. That's a blessing today. To just know that God is able to save and to keep and to use us along the pilgrim. Give us some insight as to how to walk and to give you a life that's worthwhile. I'll tell you what. I've seen worldlings live and die. And I want to tell you that there's not anything like being a Christian today as far as the direction of life is concerned. Because when it comes down to it, the truth of the matter is we can pillow our head in death in peace because God's given us some direction in our lives if we pursue Him and follow Him. But He's able to save and to lead today in these verses. And then finally, in the latter part of the chapter, we'll go to our third point, when wisdom enters the heart. Well, there's some interesting things that are said here. There's three divisions basically in this one particular division. There's a thought that I want to share in verses 10 and 11 that he keeps again and preserves. But then there's three divisions of things that are the outcropping or the results of wisdom entering the heart. In verses 10 and 11, we have, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. In other words, he's saying that when wisdom's there, that it does give you just some resources to draw on for life. Certainly, as we live in a world that gets really more complex every day, we need to have some discretion. We need to have some wisdom. And here the Bible said when wisdom comes, it gives us the direction. It keeps us. It directs us. It'll do something for us. Now, there's three things that are mentioned here in the remaining verses that wisdom, when it enters the heart, will do for us. First of all, it will deliver us from the evil man in verses 12 through 15. Years ago, I had gone through Arlington Baptist College. I took a few hours out at University of Texas to pick up some courses I wanted to study. I was in a history course there and talking with one of the ladies that was in that class one day. Something came up and I said to her, yeah, all men are sinners. Oh, no, not everybody's a sinner. With that pious look and that plaintive voice. And I thought to myself, how did you get here today? You didn't drive down the street and see that all are guilty and sinners before God. That there's wickedness, there's meanness on every hand. I mean, to drive from Grand Prairie to Arlington, Texas, and not realize that there is some evil folks out there. You don't have to go very far down the street, and you'll find that there's evil folks. There's evil men. And I want you to know that God, in His when wisdom comes into the heart, He'll give us some insight to keep us from evil men. And so these verse 10 and 11, let's just give us the thought now. He said, hey, when wisdom comes, it gives us discretion that will preserve us to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. This evil man now is described for us in these verses. From the man that speaketh forward things. In other words, he's blatant, he's forward. He's certainly not in subjection to the Lord, nor His will, nor His word, nor anything concerning the Spirit of God. He's just not interested. He's forward. He's the boss. He's the one that's in control. And that's going to be the course of his life. And that kind of a fellow can certainly lead you in the wrong direction. He can do you great harm in your life. And he said that also, this one who will speak these forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now, not everybody that ought to be in the penitentiary is, and not everybody that is a criminal went to the 7-Eleven down the street with a gun in his hand. There are men that will sit in offices that are plush, and they'll figure out how to pilfer the savings of a lot of folks. In fact, we have a major company in our nation right now. A president and a vice president, I think, are being charged. And there were some of those employees of that they had depended. But again, I'd say you don't want to always put your faith in the things of this world because they soon perish. But there was one that felt like he had served the company. He had his funds for retirement. And in just a day's time, he's absolutely broke. Because men had in those offices where it looked plush and everything looked to seem to be open and above board. They were actually darkness in their hearts and in their minds. And they were plotting how to take the funds of that company and literally destroy it. And they have. Those folks can hurt you. And God, as He gives wisdom, He gives us the discretion that will preserve us. He'll give us some insight, some understanding to deal with these evil men and to avoid these evil men. He said, they'll leave the paths of uprightness and they'll walk in the ways of darkness. He's now the evil man still being described, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. In other words, it's just their pursuit of life to do evil. My daddy had a saying whenever I was growing up. I picked up some of his sayings along the way. Some of them I best not pick up. But he used to talk about some guys. He said, they'd climb a tree to tell a lie when they stand on the ground and tell the truth. And when you think about that, there are some people that just pursue evil because they want to be evil. They have a wicked heart. And this is what Solomon said. Now this young man, my son, this will keep you whenever you pursue God. Let God deal in your life and God saves you and directs you, then it'll save you from men like this that would literally destroy your life because they're bent on the evil and destruction. They're not bent on good. They're not in your best interest at all. He said it'll preserve you. When wisdom enters the heart, it'll preserve you from folks like this who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked. They applaud the ones that are of that bent in persuasion. Who is it that the world applauds today and calls successful? It's not those that have lived humbly and served humanity. I guarantee it's the one who has grasped and to gain and stepped on folks and climbed the ladder. That's the one the world will applaud and say, boy, there's a successful man. Now I'll tell you what, you'll find that successful man is one who gave his life in the pursuit of the things of God and was obedient to the Lord and His Word. You might not even know his name, but he served on a foreign field somewhere all of his life, preaching the gospel to folks that had never heard. I guarantee you, when you see wealth distributed in reality, you'll see that he was the wealthy man and the successful man. But the Bible tells us here now that when wisdom enters the heart, it'll deliver us from the evil man. And then it delivers us from the strange woman in verses 16 through 19. And certainly, that is the first application of this. It's talking about a moral life and virtuous living. Certainly, we have to see that in this particular text that there are some that are just bent on destruction. I could point out a young man to you, and I wouldn't for anything in the world. But there was a wicked woman got a hold of him when he was just a young man. And she was an older woman, but she literally destroyed his life. I'm telling you, it's hard and harsh. And the tragedy was he didn't have the wisdom of God in his heart at the time to keep him and to protect him. And he couldn't see what was coming. And he thought that there was love for all of life and whenever she left him, it literally destroyed him almost in his entire life. Thank God he's turned around now, and I'm appreciative of that. But I tell you what, there are those that would take and destroy the young man. And there's a warning, and yet when wisdom is entered in the heart, it tells it'll save you, even from the stranger with letter, with the words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and the paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. It's a dangerous thing. And there's dangers out here in this world today. And our young people need to know that. They need to be taught today. But now let me make a second application of this, because it is in the Bible. You'll find it that whenever there's error and false doctrine, it's always, and many, I say always, it's many times personified as a woman. In fact, in the book of Revelation, is it not? There's a great whore that is presented. I want you to know that when wisdom's in the heart, it'll keep you from that one who rides his bicycle up to your door and begins to tell you that he serves a God that started out like you did, and he's just that so many years ahead of you. And you can be like God one day. It'll keep you from that, because you'll understand you have the wisdom of God in the heart and understand that God has never changed and never will change. False doctrine will destroy you. It's ultimately the end of its death. And we can be preserved from that. So we see when wisdom enters the heart, it does some things for us. And then, in the final thought in this chapter we're studying today, it'll let you live right and enjoy the benefit of a godly life in verses 20 through 22. It'll let you live right. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. Now, wouldn't it be a compliment, men, when we come to that last day of our lives and we draw our last breath and somebody would come by and say, he was a good man. Wouldn't you rather have that said of you than say, he was a sorry rascal? Just to have the reputation of being a good man. I think it's worth pursuing life for. And giving ourselves too. But he said, if you have wisdom in your heart, it'll allow you to walk in the way of good men. It'll give you some direction, some insight, how to conduct yourself so that you'll not be of ill repute when you pillow your head in death. And he said, and keep the paths of righteousness. Walk like a good man and keep the paths that are appropriate and right, as a child of God ought to walk. Tell you what, I love to read of some of these old saints of God. And one fellow said, I'd rather see them than to read of them. Some men that give themselves and they walk right. I remember reading the last story of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. That man lived his life. He was a great preacher. And I met, by the way, one of his descendants just the other day. A young couple came by here. They wanted to get married on late summer. And I was taking their names down, and he said, Spurgeon. And I said, there's a good Baptist preacher named Spurgeon. You any kin to him? He said, yeah. He said, back in the lineage, he said, he was there. I said, well, you've got a good heritage then. But this man lived his life. So that it, even in a vacation, there's another preacher writing of him later, talked about how that he took the holiday, they rested, even played on the beaches there. I think they went over onto the edge of France. But he said at the end of the day, just as naturally as if it being a part of his life, Charles Spurgeon turned to the man and said, we've had an enjoyable, relaxing day. Let's give thanks for it. And immediately begin to commune with God and fellowship with God. Now that's worthwhile, that kind of a life. And when wisdom is in the heart, it'll let us live like a good man ought to live and walk in the paths of a righteous man, or woman, by the way. And he said, now there's benefits to this, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Well, we understand that this is written with an Israelite setting, naturally. And the land is referring to the land of Israel, with the promise of God and the blessings upon the land. You and I have greater promises than that, if you don't know the truth about it. Israel was blessed as a nation. Do you realize what the saint of God has today in the promise of the future and in the presence of fellowship with God as the person of the Holy Spirit lives within us? We can enjoy that. There's benefits today, having wisdom in the heart. Then he said, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Is not wisdom worth looking into? Is not God worth pursuing today? Just because of the benefits that are described for us in this chapter that is before us today. Well, I would say you need to find the knowledge of God, let God save you and lead you. And when wisdom is in the heart, it'll do some real precious things.